Julia Barbaro here, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I am here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my co-host and husband, Gino Barbaro.
Julia Barbaro,
what's
how are we
up?
doing, girl?
Amazing. Thank you.
We've got an amazing guest today. We met this guest at a mastermind, and it was an awesome day. It was an awesome event. It was at Ryan Serhant's mastermind about building brand, and there was a gentleman named Jeff Martin there talking about LinkedIn. I'm like, what the hell are we talking about LinkedIn with branding? Little did I know how amazing LinkedIn is, and more importantly, how amazing Jeff Martin is. He's the CEO of University Recruiters and highly sought after thought leader in the talent acquisition space. Jeff and his recruiting firms handle the staffing for some of the most prestigious companies in the country and are known for their hiring strategies as well as how to attract and retain millennials. That must be a tough one. Welcome to the show,
now,
Mr. Jeff Martin.
Man, read that again. I love it. What's up? Good to see you guys again.
Nice to see you. And this show is really about family and all its spousal relationship and communication. But we're going to talk a little business. Am I allowed to talk business
today?
We are
going to
talk
business because I got the honor of being at that Serhant event. And I got to hear Jeff talk about LinkedIn. And I have to tell you, at first, I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll just do something on my phone. And I was really intrigued. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I started looking at LinkedIn, looked in at my profile, looking at my brother's profile, which I always try to help out. I'm like, man, we got work to do. And I actually I actually learned. I went home, taught Sophia, our daughter, 17 years old, everything I learned. And now she's literally taking over my account and my brother's account.
Jeff, how did you start in LinkedIn? I mean, give us your background and your story of how you started University Recruiters.
Yeah, I mean, it's the tool I use every day of my life, right? So I never thought about teaching it. And believe it or not, the first people that came to me about teaching it was LinkedIn. They actually made my ebook and they let me use their conference rooms in the LinkedIn headquarters to teach it. It was pretty cool. And what happened was, you don't realize everyone, you know, I use it for a living. I make every dollar I've ever made essentially off LinkedIn. But you don't ever think about, oh wow, I'm a master at this, until you start watching other people teach that have never used it. And that's essentially how it came about. There was an insurance company 6-7 years ago that came to me and said, we just had a LinkedIn trainer in here and they were good, but we saw something you did, a video that blew our mind. Come teach, right? And I got up there, it was maybe 200-300 people. I was like, oh shit, I do know a lot about this. And it was just, I was on autopilot because everything I teach, I use every single day. So when you see me say something, right, everyone's like, man, you got such passion for this, because I use it every day and it works. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, in my world, there's all these career coaches, and I'm not knocking them and good luck to them, but they've never recruited anyone, right? There's all these LinkedIn coaches that don't use LinkedIn. So all of a sudden I fell into it, and then I started, you know, you talk about Ryan Serhant, I started doing his staffing. And next thing you know, they asked me about recruiting help or LinkedIn help. And now I'm at the masterminds. I just sort of realized, oh, you know what? I'm pretty good at this because I use it every day. I got here at 7 a.m. It's 3 o'clock my time. We're talking about family. So today's my early day because I picked my daughter up from dance at 5:30. Maybe there's, besides this 30 minutes to an hour, another hour where I'm not on the platform. Not
all. And so I remember at the event, you said there's 800 million people on LinkedIn.
Yep.
It is not a pay to play service. Nope. That's the thing that I like about it. You
Wild.
Get on there, it's impressions and all. How has it helped you expand your business? How do you use it day to day? You say you're on there all the time.
So, a couple. So 5-6 years ago, and Gary Vaynerchuk, it was huge in helping me do this. I went up to see him and I was talking to him about paying someone to be sort of a spokesperson. He's like, what are you, nuts? Go be the thought leader. This is a business platform. Just get out there. So I started doing, actually this was 2016. I would do 2-3 videos a day. This is when you weren't even allowed to post videos. I had to upload them to YouTube and share the link. And I just started putting out content about, you know, Gary said, stay narrow, right? So if you're a recruiter, talk about careers and recruiting. Don't start talking about working out and healthcare, right? So I just stayed true to what I did. And I started saying a lot of things that resonated with HR or sales managers that they couldn't say, or they would get fired or in trouble. And all of a sudden, that was my business development. And it's funny, I caught myself the other day telling someone, I've never done business development. They're like, you're crazy, you invented it. You're on, like, your business development is your videos talking about what you do, and all of a sudden it resonates with someone, says, I want to use that guy, right? Mm-hmm. So my whole thing was, I got on, let's just call it 2016, when it wasn't even allowed, and just started, you know, chirping and doing what I did. And all of a sudden, Gary was right. I was the first to the party. I become the thought leader. Everyone follows me, and, you know, they want to work with you. It was pretty simple. But I stayed consistent, right? That's the first thing I talk about when I have these LinkedIn trainings. I say, hey, you know, it's great. You guys are all going to be fired up. 90% of you won't do a damn thing about it, right? So I stayed consistent on putting it out. I've slowed down a little bit, but that's how I use the tool. That's how I started, and that's how I get all my business.
Let's talk about the softer side, if there is one, of Jeff Martin, the family side. I've seen pictures of you and your family on Facebook, and LinkedIn is not the platform to be sharing family and all that kind of stuff. Let's discuss the family. How has family life impacted you, and how has it been trying to build the business and the family life at the same
it's
time?
It's tricky, and I typically don't post anywhere about them, but I have been doing some posts on LinkedIn that are like letters to my kids, really trying to show other parents that, one, you could use this platform to teach people about parenting, but it's not, hey, look at little Jimmy playing baseball. So I've really utilized that. But you know, it's I'm a super, super hands-on dad, right? Which I think comes from, you know, my parents getting divorced early and, you know, going to be with my dad on the weekends, right? Like I said today, I'm done at 5:30. Nothing will stop me. I canceled every meeting at 5:30. I'm picking my daughter up at dance. Because I got to get those. I know how important those hours are, but I'm also an entrepreneur who, you know, I have a question I ask people. I say, hey, where'd you get your work ethic, right? I want, and I hope they say mom and dad, because I want to know what they do. And if they tell me that their parents were self-employed, right, it's even better, because I know that means their parents worked their ass off and mom and dad weren't home for dinner. So I know that I have not sat down at a family dinner besides on a Saturday or Sunday in a long time. So it's tricky. I just have to make it up when I'm around. And that's hard to do, right? That's, you know, at night when it's homework time. And I try to make weekends, you know, I love golf, but it's one day. I get one day. I'm not playing both, right? Because then I feel like I'm a deadbeat dad. I should be at home with the kids. So, you know, to answer your question, it's tricky. It's a tough balance. I'm constantly talking with them, communicating, making sure, you know, I stay tight. My oldest turns 14, and, you know, I've heard stories, but I got to be honest, I think because I stayed her best friend, we're still tight. They see dad every day go kick ass. They know I gave a big speech last night at Towson University, so they're starting to get involved with what I do, and they're starting to understand the things they have around them are because of what daddy goes and does. So it's a little easier, but it's still hard, as you know. Yeah.
I want to ask one question. I mean, I don't know, it might be a tough question for you to answer, but when you talk about the divorce and your parents getting divorced, how did that affect you as far as you wanting to get married? Because my wife came
from I don't know if it affected me in getting married. It definitely affected me in communication, right? Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. You know, just I go home and I'm pretty quiet. Everyone knows what I do, but I don't say, hey, let me tell you about my day. And I think it beat me up on that level a little bit. I didn't have a problem committing and getting married. I do think, actually, I know for a fact that it's made me the most super hands-on, over-the-top dad. Like,
so you either go one way or the other. Yeah. So you went other way.
I went to the point where I get messages saying, holy shit. Like, you know, if I got to leave, if there's a $1 billion deal on the table, sorry guys, I'll get the next one. My daughter has a show tonight. I'm out. Because I didn't have that. And it wasn't their fault. It was, you know, I didn't have it. And I said, to your point, I can go two ways, and I'm going the super duper on the floor. I'm going to wrestle with you. You know, talk to, you know, joke around. One of my daughters will sleep in my bed almost every single night. I'm like, that's fine. You know, so I don't think it affected me on the marriage side. but it affected me on the, I want to almost be over the top there for them. You know, I told my daughter, I said, hey, I don't know where you're going to college, but I'm definitely going to get a condo in the city where you go to college. you know, daddy-daughter dance. I'm there. I'm at the, my other daughter's riding show. I'll take her to the barn, you know, all that stuff. And I still I still need me time. That's important.
Mm-hmm. And as far as your wife, you're, you seem like you're really busy. My wife is, I don't want to say blame me, but she said that sometimes I work a little too much and I need to take a little time off.
Yeah.
How is the communication with your wife? Because it can be challenging with the hours and then taking your daughter and there's not enough time for you and your wife.
Yeah, there's times, you know, in the beginning it was a lot harder. Now it's get to work and make the money, right? We got private school and college coming up, so it made it easier. In the beginning, it's tough, right? I mean, you know, in the beginning, it's where you at? Daddy's not here. And then you want to go play golf. And, you know, it's one of those like, oh, boy. So it really is. It's a balancing act to almost going back to what I said. You know, I know that I'm playing golf this Sunday with my boys. I know I was in Naples last week from Wednesday to Saturday. This is great. My wife calls. I'm in Naples. And she's like, how much did you win this weekend? I said about $600 to $700. She goes, okay, well, I'll take that in cash for holding the house down while you're gooping off. And guess what? I came home, I handed it to her. I gave her the cash. That helps, right? But it's tricky. You know, I try to make sure I'm present in everyone's face. So I can't get the, hey, you're never home, or, you know, I'm home. Mm-hmm. And I don't work late. I leave here at 6:30, 7 o'clock, right? So, you know, I'm in their face loud. I let everyone know daddy's home. but in the beginning, it's tricky, you know, especially when it's no kids involved, right? So I'll tell you the true story. I got one dog that wore off. I got another dog, right? And then it was like, oh shit, the dogs aren't working. I guess I got to have a kid. And as soon as you have that kid, it's like, I don't want to go to work. So it was interesting. Mm-hmm. So literally we wound up having two dogs. It bought me about 4 to 5 years. and that was in the beginning when I was working, no joke, 7 to 9 at night, every night, at least nine. Cause I was working for a big finance firm trying to make a name for myself. 14 years. I was there, never was home before 9 o'clock. And then I realized, like, this isn't going to work.
I do love listening to you guys, because it's I love to see the dad's perspective, especially with daughters. That it just makes me happy. But it's almost like we're always trying to make everything okay, being there enough, you know what I mean? But the communication, I notice, especially with our children and my husband, and I could tell with you, is so important. And a lot of dads don't realize the impact that you have, especially on the girls, on communicating.
Oh, if I'm away, when I was in Naples last week, I FaceTimed them 10 times a day. I knew that, you know, half the time they wouldn't pick up. But, hey, daddy's here. Hey, what's up? Hey, you know, what, it didn't matter what it was. I was going to overcall them to the point where they're like, daddy, leave me alone, right? but I don't want them to say, oh, daddy's not here. He's with his friends, and he's not thinking about us, right? So when I'm not around, they're – you know, when I travel, my youngest, now she's 10, she makes me FaceTime her the hotel, show me the hallway, take me down to the lobby. Like, we have this whole thing. So she's still part of my trip when I'm there. And awesome. I have to bring home gummy bears from wherever I go. Gotta bring home some sort of gummies.
I know, because of what you're saying, I know you probably heard wait till they're teenagers. And we've heard that for our whole, we have 6 children, you know, we only have one teenager now, maybe. They're awesome. The relationship you have with your girls is going to be an amazing teenage life for them. I'm just putting that out there right now, because the communication. And I want to kind of break that stereotype that teenagers are difficult, because they're not. Yeah. They're just different.
And I think the other stereotype, though, is not stereotype, but what Jeff is doing and what I'm trying to accomplish is our daughters are going to marry a resemblance of who we are. So if Jeff is not hanging out, not spending
unless
time,
they talk to me.
You're killing me, baby. You know what I'm saying?
I have to say that. Yes.
You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, if you want somebody, if you want to get married, you're going to have a husband who's going to want to over-communicate with 100%. You, that's going to think about you, yes. That's going to bring you gifts, that's going to be there for you, that's right. Going to be your friend, but also has to be stern at certain times.
Yes, but so also that, to have you guys that also, something that you both have in common, which I really appreciate, is your work ethic. And you are, both of you are teaching your children that by example and by your communication. Yep. And also, Jeff, you're mentioning, here's, I'm going to be here this weekend, I got to give a big talk. And they're seeing that. And a lot of, I feel like a lot of parents don't communicate mm-hmm. that to their children. So what advice do you give, the importance of that, where you are, why you're doing it?
Yeah, it's funny that you said that. I tried to get my oldest to come watch my keynote last night. I was like, let me show you what daddy, you know, does. But so give me the question again.
I'm just curious, the importance. I want anyone listening, because there are a lot of dads listening, and maybe they go out and work, but the kids don't really know what they do. They're not excited by it.
I think it's important. They know what I do. They you know, part of it is I'll do, and I don't do it on purpose. My work doesn't stay at work, right? So they hear me on the phone, and my oldest mm-hmm. now says, right. What is that? How do you get a job? How, you know, and I tell them. Like, even though it might be boring as hell, and they're like, I have no clue what daddy just said, they know what I do. And they know where my office is, and they love coming to see me at work. My youngest, for sure, and she'll draw all over the whiteboard. And so they're part of it, right? They're in here all the time. They know what I do. They hear the clients I work for when I go to New York, right? They're following me, you know, which is a little easier these days on Instagram, and there's daddy. And, you know, so I think it's very important. That one, they understand what I do, and they understand that they can call me at any time and I stop what I'm doing and they know they're first. No doubt. Doesn't matter who I'm with. Doesn't matter where I'm at. My girls call, guys, hold on, FaceTime, you know, done. I did it the other day. I was in a meeting. I'm like, I don't give a shit what these people think. I picked up, hey Cass, what's up? Hey dad, can you help me? My headphones don't work. I'm like, I'll call you back. And you know what? Everyone in the room loved it, right? Because things are a little different these days. I mean, I think most people are starting to realize you get one lap at this game called life. And before you know it, it's gone. And back in the old days, and I know people now that just work like crazy. Then they go home, they go to bed, they get up and they do it again. Their kids don't even know what they do. And that's not me.
How do you teach, Jeff? How do you know what people are looking for? And, you know, you recruit people for jobs. You know what people are looking for. How do you teach your children that work ethic? What, you know what I mean? To be good at their job, but also because it's not so much just getting a job for someone. It's really just life balance in general.
Yeah, they watch me, and I'm not who I am here is who I am at work. And you know, it's funny. My youngest the other day, last week, says, why do you have so many brothers, right? Because like, hey, brother, like it could be the mailman, it could be anyone. They see me treat everybody the same, right? Which is making them who they are. They say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, to everyone because they see me do it, right? It doesn't matter who they are. When I'm at a restaurant, I'm joking around with the waiter, and what do you do? And they see me start small talk, you know, with every single person I... They actually hate when we travel. They know my script to a T when I get in an Uber or I get in a cab. And they tease me all the time. They're like, oh, let me guess. How are you? Are you busy? How many runs did you make today? How's the weather been? I go right down the line. But guess what? Now they're starting to get it. And now they're teasing me. Like, they know when I get in the Uber, I have 5 questions I ask. And now they know why I ask. Why? Because I'm just starting to – they are somebody too. And most people get in this car and they're assholes and they're mean to them. And I'm asking about their life and where you go to school and how many kids you have. I know everything. And that may come from recruiting because that's what I do all day. But my kids see it. And now they think it's hilarious. They know exactly what's coming. Let me guess, Dad, how's the weather? How many runs did you make today? Is this your full-time job or do you do a part-time? And now they understand it. So.
And if they were an entrepreneur, you would say, what are you excited about? You know, that's the top question right there. What are you excited about? Yeah, I agree.
They watch me. They watch me treat, you know, the cashier at Target like I would treat my best friend. And it's starting to wear off. In the beginning, they didn't get it. And now you watch their manners and how they treat people. It's like, bingo.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, when you said you were working in finance, you were working so many hours. Is that when you transitioned, you became a recruiter? Yeah. Did you have that conversation with your wife and said, time out, this is not working out? Because, you know, that was the one thing with us. We had a great relationship as far as communication. She saw me struggling at the restaurant. She knew that I needed a break, and it was easy for me to go to her and say, I need help here. I want to change.
I was recruiting. So I started in finance and I stayed there. And for the last seven years, I was running nationwide recruiting. So it was an easy transition. And it was not a good conversation because I was making a boatload. I was way overpaid. But I came in when the company started. So they just keep paying and paying and paying. And I went to zero with two kids. And the good news, I had the support, you know what you're doing, go do it. But it was a tough conversation because, you know, the plus side was I knew I wasn't going to give up so many hours because now I'm an entrepreneur versus a W-2. Mm-hmm. But I was going to, once I was successful, I could pick and choose. Like tonight, I'm going to leave at 5 to go pick up my daughter. End of story. I couldn't do that when I was there. If I was still there, I don't know how my let's put it this way. It would either be I didn't have a family or I'd still be working there. Because at some point, either they're going to say, where's daddy? Right. Or I was going to say, I haven't seen my family. It was a harder talk in the sense of I'm about to go make zero for I don't know how long. I have no clue. I didn't know. The plus side is I was able to keep the company I worked for as a client. So I had a little built-in equity, like a lawyer leaving with some clients. It's a little less scary. It was scary because then I went into oh shit drive and started working more than I've ever worked when I was over there as a W-2. So the conversation was a little scary, but I had the blessing of
So you went from, I'm not going to make any money, but I'm going to have a better lifestyle. Then I'm not making any money and I'm working even harder. So that must have been an even more challenging conversation to like all of a sudden things balanced out. Right?
It was fun because it was something I was building. You know what I mean? But a lot less stressful because I knew I had a W-2 cut. I knew there was going to be a direct deposit on the 15th and 30th, without a doubt, whether I want to perform well, but regardless. There is no direct deposit unless I crush it.
Mm-hmm. What tips would you give to a person who is an entrepreneur, wants to become an entrepreneur, who's married, has kids? You've gone through it. We've gone through it. What would you say to them to be able to, because there's no such thing as family life balance. You know how it goes. What would you say to them? Hey, this is what you should do. This is what helped me out.
Yeah. I was telling students this yesterday, which are totally different, but one, it's however hard you think it's going to be, times it by 10. However many hours you think you're going to work, times it by 10, right? You're going to miss events just because you have to, right? It becomes life or death. And just make sure that you over communicate and that you're including the people at home involved in what you do. I go home and they know I tell them everything to the point where they probably don't want to hear it, but they're involved, right? Versus, whether it's a guy or a girl going away for 10 hours, coming back, they don't know what you do. But honestly, the most simple thing I could tell them is just be prepared for hell because it's hard. It's hard. It's not what you see on YouTube, right? You see, it's not grab a camera and become a millionaire. The average is hard, and I always tell people, whatever runway you think you need, it's going to be a mile longer. However much money you think you need a lot more. However fast you think it's going to be, if you're telling your husband or wife, just give me 6 months, it's going to be a year. But to go back to your question, one of the things, and this is what I tell people when I'm placing them at work, you have to go to your spouse and say, if you believe in me, just back me up for a year. I'm going to go bananas for a year. If at that point it doesn't work or I start draining our account, I'm never going to put us in a situation where I'm going to screw us, but you got to get behind me and let me do it for a year because there's going to be noise from your family and my family. What is he doing? Why is she doing that? What is he crazy? What is she nuts? Put the blinders on and support me for a year and or 6 months, whatever timeline. And if it doesn't work, I'll recalculate. We'll do something else. And that's what I did. right? I mean, but for a year, cheer me on, you know.
What do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm curious. I'm curious what your wife's view was at the time when you had this conversation. What her take was, what her advice was, what her attitude was. I use the word attitude.
We think of things differently. I'll give you a quick idea. Uh-oh. If you saw the movie Shazam, and there's that little boy in the beginning when he was with his mom, and it seemed like from his point of view, everything looked great. Life was great. And from his mom's point of view, later on in the movie, that's not how she remembered it. That's my wife's my memory.
I
remember something
idea.
So much completely different than I'm like, are you even thinking about the same memory, baby? I mean, like, I don't know what you're thinking about. So
I'm wondering what your wife's real perspective
she
was.
She must be like, what the hell are you doing, Jeff? We got some money. Got the 1531 coming
there
in.
There was a little bit of that. I had to do it. There was time. There was stuff going on in the office. And then I think, you know, from her knowing me, she knew that if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He's going to kill him. Yeah. Or he wouldn't go do it. Like, you know, that's just
so
my
she had
attitude.
The complete trust.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. I think there was a lot of stuff, but I think honestly, there was a portion of whatever he does is going to kill it. So just let him go do it.
Mm-hmm. What you said was very important. And I think I did the same thing you did. When I left the restaurant, I was about to leave those couple of years up before, I did make a huge commitment. I spent hours, you know, on the education, hours on the networking, learning the business itself. So it's not one of those things where, hey, baby, trust me, I'm gonna try to wing this thing.
Yes.
I'm gonna
commit. No, that's so important.
Hours
right? Yes,
and hours 100%. Onto it.
As the two of you, obviously, we knew you,
yes.
And I think that's important because a lot of people I talk with, they're like, you know, my wife's not on board. We're like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's
and,
a problem.
And you know, there's a lot of wasted time.
Yes.
And so it's you. You're the problem. Like I'm very honest with people.
Yes.
You need to show her that you're doing the work. You need mm-hmm. to show her that you're committed. And you're putting it in that extra. So I applaud
yeah,
the
Yeah, one party's not
hands.
On board, you have a problem. Because you need you need commitment of go do what you got to do. I'll see you in 10 hours. If you're not on board and now I got to come home and deal with how, like, I'm not a good dad or husband, then I'm dead.
Yeah, so. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up because that is very common. A lot of us wives. We can complain a lot. It's just the truth. It's just
why are you looking
reality.
At me? Look at Jeff. While you're saying that, don't say it to me.
Know
I know.
It. I know that you get. I love. I know you.
Well,
love
Jeff, the word, the toughest thing about it is sometimes when I come home from work and I try to talk to her about the business, and I get defensive because she's giving me all these ideas and these thoughts. And I'm like, baby, I just want to come home. I had a rough day. I really don't want any solutions right now. I just want to talk
but
to you, baby.
I'm trying to fix your problems.
I know. And I don't want.
You know?
I don't want you
to
fix
it. That's the thing. Tell me, I just want to talk to you. I don't need.
There's
to
times
me.
I'll come home and I, you know, there's good days and bad days, and I'll say, I'm just here to chill. Anything that you have to ask that has to deal with money or anything, it's got to wait till tomorrow. Let's just relax because I'm gonna snap.
That's good communication. That's
yes.
my point. That's really good because a lot of people don't do that and they just get irritated. They shut down. They whatever.
Please, tomorrow.
You communicate it. I love it. Yes, that's what we need to do more.
Yeah. Jeff, on the LinkedIn front. You know, let's talk about the business. What do you see yourself in your future? As far as I, you know, you got the kids ready to go to college, but what are you excited about for the future?
For me, business-wise?
Yeah.
I'm excited about two new ventures or one new venture that I'm putting everything behind and I know it's going to work, which is a tool to help recruiters. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, you know, and you watch people on Shark Tank and the ideas are the ones that they needed. Right. And there's a need for the world of recruiting that's not out there, which is more of a community driven. So we're putting together, it'll be a couple months till it's out, but I'm excited for this platform that we're building that recruiters can actually come together and work together. Mm-hmm. Right. Right now, they're all over the place. It's me versus you. And why not come together like some of these masterminds we're at, share ideas and figure out how I can help you. And, you know, 99% of the people I talk to, I can't do anything with those resumes. So why not? I've already did the work. I already talked to them. Why not hand them off to someone that can? And then they'll hand me one. Or there's nothing like that going. So I'm excited for this platform that we're building that I think will change the way recruiters work. It'll make them work smarter, easier, and make more money. And we could all pool together and share ideas and share candidates and share, you know, all that stuff. right?
This is a selfish question for me though. What are you looking for when you are looking at a resume or you are looking for somebody? Because for me, it's all people, systems, and culture to build an organization. And people are the most important thing. And people build your culture, help you build your culture. So when you're looking at a potential person applicant, and they're going to share themselves with Jeff Martin, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I had this question last night. So if I'm on an interview, the first thing I'm looking for is energy. Right, I can't do anything with you or my clients if you're just a deadbeat, talk like a turtle, we're done. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I'm looking for is energy, right? Like the passion, energy, and then I'll figure out, do they have the skills? And even if they don't, if they have the energy, I'll put the time in. So that's the first thing I look for is energy and communication. I gave this talk last night to seniors that are graduating, and they're like, what are people looking for us? I said, let me tell you something. They don't give a shit about your 4.0 or where you went to school anymore. Those are the old days. I haven't had a CEO tell me they need a college degree or where they have to go to school or a certain GPA in 5-6 years. It's get me the kid that has grit. Give me the guy or girl that has a great attitude and they're not scared to work. And I'll put the time in to teach them what I want versus the guy or girl that's sort of just blah, that did it for 2 years. Give me the hustler that's willing to outwork everybody with a good attitude and energy, and I'll put my time into them because then I'm going to create a freaking animal.
That's awesome.
I love that.
We know a lot of people that fit that mold, and it's funny that you say that. Do you have to go to college? I don't know. I think you just have to find your passion, and I think if you've got great parents that teach you that work ethic, I mean, that's
nowadays that's really what people care, unless it's a specific, I'm going to be a lawyer or I need to be a CPA, different. But the majority right now, all they care about, they do care about the college degree because now it's about did they start and finish something, right? That's all. They don't ask what your GPA is. They didn't ask where you go. There's so many online little schools you never heard of. I used to get, hey, don't send me anyone that went to one of these fake schools. Now no one cares. Now it's whether you're 20 or 50, give me someone with passion who wants to be part of something, who's going to not clash the culture, right? Who's not going to be an asswipe and that's willing to learn. And then we'll put our time into it. We'll put our resources into it.
I love that.
Yeah, no, that's important. I see that with Gino's company. That's the people that when they come to you, I love when they work with us because it's
energy. Yes.
It's energy.
Gotcha.
You need that otherwise.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Jeff, where can the listeners get a hold of you as far as handles? I mean, LinkedIn is huge.
Just,
I mean, everybody on here, just connect with Jeff on
LinkedIn.
Connect
with me on LinkedIn. I mean, I have other socials. It's just more goofy stuff. LinkedIn is where my content is. It's where I live. It's where I work. We connect, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can message me on LinkedIn, but that's where I am all day, every day.
And what I would say to everybody is connect with Jeff because something, hopefully in the next few months, he'll be coming out with a course on LinkedIn because his content is amazing. If you ever have the opportunity to go to an event that he's speaking at, go to the event because we've used his content. We've hired other property managers for our company. So it seems so easy and so basic, but that one little minor tweak could be life-changing for your organization. Any final words, my friend?
No, I appreciate seeing you guys again and you know, everyone listening, just like I said, be a good person and just keep hustling. That's simple as that.